2 weeks ago, we're in this series called I Am, We Are. And it's about who we are as a church and who we are individually, who we are as Living Grace. And we talked about who we are as the church. And we talked about how we're building and we are the body of Christ and we are the bride of Christ. We also talked about what we do. Last week, we talked about how we love God and how you cannot minimize loving God and loving others, like loving God is here and loving others is here. But the Bible says that loving God and loving others are on the same plane. This is where you start, but this is on the same plane. So a measure of how well a church is doing actually might be how well they love others. That might be a good measure of how a global church or a body of Christ is doing. And so today we're going to talk about our why. Do you know why you do what you do? Maybe it's regarding your work, but why are you a Christian? Why? What is the point? And not how did it happen, because we can give testimonies and amen to that. We love testimonies. But why? What's the real reason that motivates you to do this? And that's what we're going to talk about. And so, Father, we ask that you would take your word and that you would sprinkle life into it, because your word is life, it is living, it is active. Lord, we need to hear from you today. Give us something. May our hearts be a blank slate. Lord, we ask you to fill it. I know that I have nothing to say that's of any great value, but I know that your words are eternal life. And so would you speak by your Spirit and give us understanding? And Holy Spirit, we thank you for being within us and around us. Give us the understanding that we need. We ask all of these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Would you give someone a high five and have a seat, please? All right. So, I have a little video clip I want to show you. This is from a Christian comedian named Michael Jr. And he is funny as can be. Look him up on YouTube or GodTube. Michael Jr. And this is his talk about knowing your why. Go ahead.
The series is called How Do I Know? And a lot of times when people hear the phrase, how do I know, the next thing they say is what? How do I know what? But the key really isn't to know what. The key is to know why. Because when you know your why, you have options on what your what can be. For instance, my why is to inspire people to walk in purpose. My what is stand-up comedy. My what is writing books. My what can be going out with some friends to eat. In fact, another what that has moved me towards my why is a web series that we have out now called Break Time. So every Wednesday at 3 o'clock, you should subscribe to the channel. We do a series called Break Time on YouTube. So 3 o'clock, we drop a new episode. One episode in particular I'm about to show you a clip to, we were in Winston-Salem. So Break Time, this is how it works. I travel the country, I do stand-up comedy, probably an hour, hour and a half at an event. And in the middle of my show, I'll just sit down and start talking to the audience. And funny just happens. Or I'll meet somebody who's really interesting. So I met this one guy, and he said that he teaches music at a school. I was like, all right, you teach music, you know, can you sing? And then I'm just going to show you the clip. Check it. So you're a musical director.
Cool. Yes, sir.
All right, so let me get a couple bars of like Amazing Grace. Can you do the first part of that? Go ahead.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Wow. That bro could sing. You know what I'm saying?
All right. Now, what you give me the version is if your uncle just got out of jail, you got shot in the back when you was a kid. I'm just saying, let me see the hood version real quick, if you know which version I'm talking about. Just see if that exists. Let me see what you got.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Here's the thing. The first time I asked him to sing, he knew what he was doing. The second time I asked him to sing, he knew why he was doing it. When you know your why, your what has more impact because you're walking in or towards your purpose.
Ah. Yes. Coming to a church near you. How many of you guys think that guy's a YouTube sensation by now? You know, he said something, Michael Jr. said, when you know your why, your what has more purpose and meaning, right? Your why. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Let me talk about the why of God. Has anybody ever said to you, if God knew that people would rebel against him, people would hate him and not follow his word, why would he bother with people? What's the point of that? Well, let me say that we don't know everything about God, because in Deuteronomy it says the secret things of God he has kept to himself. Everything else he has revealed to our sons and daughters. We also know that God has given, if you go back to Genesis, a mandate for people. And one of those, among others, is to be fruitful and multiply, right? Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth. That was the commandment given to Adam and Eve. That's never changed. How many of you say amen to being fruitful and multiplying? It's okay. Some of y'all are like, amen, amen. Come on now. That was never rescinded. We need to have more children. Oh, building the body of Christ one baby at a time. Living Grace Church. Wouldn't that be great? I like this place, you know. Listen. Right, Adam and Eve, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth. We get to Genesis chapter 9, and it says, God bless Noah. You remember that the wickedness and the evil on the earth reached a point of no return, so God destroyed the earth with a flood. And in Genesis chapter 9, he reiterates that. God blessed Noah and his sons, saying to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Here's what God is saying. Here's part of his why of all of this that will relate to our why, is that he has always desired to have a community of people in every place of the world. Worldwide community of people that will worship him and follow him. Not too long after that, he calls a particular people group to be the nation of blessing to the entire world. And in Genesis chapter 12, he raises up Abraham and says to him, leave your country, your people, your father's household, and go to the land that I will show you. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. And all peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. And so God is now raising up a particular nation to bring a blessing to the world for the purpose of being fruitful and multiplying and creating a community of followers and believers in every corner of the earth. Well, not too long after, or just prior to that, I would say, in Genesis chapter 11, we have the Tower of Babel. And if you know that story, you know that the people wanted to create a hub. They wanted to create a capital. They wanted to be in a place where They wouldn't have to follow what God said. It says this in Genesis chapter 11. Now the whole world had one language and a common speech. As men moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. Then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches the heavens. Why? So that we may make a name for ourselves and not be scattered over the face of the whole earth. And so here you have a people, a nation, not more than just a tribe, but you have people that are wanting to violate what God said. God said, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And they're saying, we're going to build a capital here. We're not going anywhere. And so God said, this is not good. And what does he do? He comes down and he confuses their languages. And they all head in different directions. And they are going to be a community of people all over the world that will bring honor and glory and worship to him. So Israel as a nation has been in bondage in Egypt for 400 years. God has a purpose in that because he wants to create a community of people all over the world. And Pharaoh refuses to let the people go after one of the particular plagues. It was the plague of the frogs. I don't know about you, but after the first plague, I would have been done. I would have said, you know what? We're finished here. Go and take whatever you want and just thank you. Please leave. Exodus chapter 8, verse 10 tells us that the story of and the whole purpose of among other things, of this nation being in bondage was that so that God's name would be glorified and he would raise up a community of believers. Even in Egypt, it says, Pharaoh was saying, I will let the people go. And Exodus 8:10 says, Moses says, may it be according to your word, that you may know that there is no one like the Lord our God. Okay? Turns out that that whole story is a missions story. By the time you get to the book of Joshua, it's 40 years later, and a woman by the name of Rahab, who is a prostitute, is going to tell Joshua something about his history. She says, I know that the Lord has given this land to you and that a great fear of you has fallen on us. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea when you came out of Egypt 40 years ago. And so the word of God is spreading and the knowledge of the glory of God is spreading even to a place like this. You get to Daniel, and Daniel goes on a missions trip to Babylon, and this is what he says, or this is what the king of Nebuchadnezzar says, after he made the mistake of thinking he was the one that built this great nation, and he has a season of insanity, and when he comes out of that, this is what he says about the one true God. He says in Daniel 3:29, therefore I, Nebuchadnezzar, decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut into pieces, for no other God can save in this way. So the gospel is spreading. The news of God, the glory of God is spreading. We're talking about the why of God. God has always wanted to have a community of people all over the world who will worship him. In fact, one author, John Piper, and pastor said this, the missions exist because worship doesn't. So if there's a culture, a neighborhood, a people group that do not worship the one true God, God wants to send someone there. He wants to send his spirit there because it is a part of what he has created all of this to do so that he will have a community of people all over the world who will worship him and give glory and honor to him one way or another. In fact, God can even choose to do it without sending missionaries. There are many, many tribal stories of people groups that heard about the one true God when a missionary never showed up. An anthropologist named Don Richardson wrote a book called Eternity in Their Hearts. And in that book, he chronicles God's visitation to people in various cultures whom a missionary or Bible have never reached them yet. Interesting. So we get to Psalm chapter 67, and this summarizes it very nicely. It says this, and he talks about purpose, he talks about the why of God, but he talks about the why of the nation of Israel, and I think it translates to the why we might do what we do. And this is what it says, may God be merciful and bless us, may his face shine with favor on us, May our way, your ways be known throughout the earth. Your saving power among people everywhere. May the nations praise you, O God. Yes, may all the nations praise you. Let the whole world sing for joy because you govern the nations with justice and guide the people of the whole world. May the nations praise you, O God. Yes, may all the nations praise you. Then the earth will yield its harvest, and God, our God, will richly bless us. Yes, God will bless us, and people all over the world will fear him. That's a great summary of the why God did what he did from the beginning when he told Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And that has always been his mandate. Now, all of that is going to tie together at the end when we talk about our why, okay? Because you got to know why. If we just know what, we're missing the critical element of why. Knowing why changes the what, doesn't it? Gives it passion, gives it meaning. When someone says to you, why do you do this? Why do you come here? Why do you act that way? Why do you? It's good to know the answer to that, all right? So, flip to the New Testament. We're in the book of Ephesians today. Ephesians is like a mine filled with gold when it comes to these kinds of things. Because Ephesians tells us who we are. It tells us what we are. It tells us why we are. Ephesians tells us about our past and our present and our future. So I'm going to use Ephesians as a template to talk a little bit about why God did what he did. And it'll reaffirm what we've already read, but it'll also get into why we ought to do what we do. And by the way, why I do what I do might be a little different than why you do it, but I think there's principles in the Word of God that give us a solid answer to this. How many of you know if you've got teenagers and you tell them what, sometimes they want to know why? And I know, you're like me sometimes. You go, don't worry about it. Or you say, because I said so. Oh, I thought I'd never say that. No. You don't need to know why. Why are my hands on my hips and my head shaking? I don't know. It's what we do, right? Yeah, man, may our young people know why they believe what they believe. Not just what. Because we can focus on the what. And I promise you this, in some of the places of higher learning and some of the job sites and some of the places they're going to end up, if our young people don't know why, then they need to know more than just what. They need to know why. And that's our job. That's why we pray that the children's ministry would come alongside what parents are doing, that the youth ministry would help to expand what's already happening at home. But let me tell you, the what and the why must be answered at home first. First. Amen? We can do this, parents, by the grace of God. All right, let's look at why God did what he did. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 says this, and look how it starts out. All praise to God. Isn't that just sort of a direct line from Psalm 67? All praise to God. Missions exist because worship doesn't. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with, what's that word say? Oh, y'all got to do better than that. Are you tracking with me? Okay. Who has blessed us with what? Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, because we are united with Christ. Even before he made the world, God loved us and what? Chose us in him to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him, what are those last two words? Great pleasure. We're going to unpack this just a little bit. I'm going to try to hold off on exposing that last sentence till the end. I'll do my best. Bless us. God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places or the heavenly realms. Okay? Every spiritual blessing. That tells me that everything that we need to walk this Christian walk, we already have. That all of the resources of heaven which are unlimited, are available to us right now. Doesn't mean it's not easy. Doesn't mean we don't struggle. And doesn't mean that we all have our quote-unquote bad days. But it does mean that we already have everything we need. All of it. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. When we are united together with Jesus by faith, the minute that happens, you have all of the resources of heaven at your disposal. Now, we will spend the rest of our days on this side of eternity figuring that out, yielding to it, growing in it. That's all a part, but it's all there. And it all starts because we are united together dynamically with Christ. Everything that God has for us is because of Jesus. That's why one of the key words in Ephesians is, or two words is, in Christ. Blessed us in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So let me ask you this question. When did this take place? Before the world was spoken into existence. God loved us and chose us in Christ. Verse 4 says, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and blameless. He chose us in eternity past. I'm going to hold off on that for right now, but the subject of the verb acts in its own interest. You could say that he picked you out, or that he chose you, but not just chose you, he chose you for himself. God did. Okay? So, and he chose us to be what? To be holy and blameless. I don't know about you, but I don't always feel holy and I don't always feel blameless. In fact, there's times I know I'm to blame. Like, who did this? That would be me, okay? Ah, right? But he chose us to be that. Here's what we have to understand. We have a position in heaven that is sealed, right? We are holy. We are blameless. We're adopted, which we'll get to. We're his son. We're his daughter. That we have all the blessings of heaven and stored away for us. That we're born again. That we have everything that the Bible says we have. And then on this side, I don't always act that way. But it doesn't change what I have in heaven. That is lock solid. That is there. That is who I am. So there's this identity that I have in heaven, and there's this difficulty of how I sometimes live it out. And so therefore God gives us the Holy Spirit to help us to live like who we really are. Does that make sense? Not what someone else tells you you are. Not, oh, Bear blew it again. I failed it. Yeah, I know. But that doesn't change who God says we are. Can you say amen to that? All right, you guys are getting this. I can tell. All right, we are chosen not only for salvation, but we're also chosen for holiness. Holiness means walking the way God wants us to walk. You've been chosen, and not just chosen to be saved, but chosen to walk the way God wants you to walk. Okay, here we go, verse 5. All of that to get to this. Verse 5. All right, can we read this together? All right, on 3, go. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. I told you, Ephesians is like a mine filled with gold. And you're the one mining it because it's all yours. There's a word he uses, adoption. It's the act, Warren Wiersbe says this, the act of God by which he gives his born-again ones an adult standing in the family. An adult standing in the family. Adoption. That all of heaven and all the promises of the Word of God are all yours the moment you surrender to him. And you have an adult standing. You're called a child of God, but you have all of the blessings and all the provision and everything you need right then and there. That tells me this. Don't wait until later to enjoy the blessings God meant for today. Young people, you know who you are. Some of you think you're young, but you're not. Welcome to the other side. It's all good. It's all good. Age is only two numbers, and if you're really blessed, three. Okay? Check it out. Check it out. Don't wait to get older to take all God has for you today. Don't think, well, I got to go do my thing. You know, I want to live my life my way. Okay, I get it. Been there, done that. Struggle with it every day. But don't wait. Don't think you have to be older to be serious about Christ. Because when you look at revivals and you look at movements that change the landscape of countries, nations, and worlds, so often it was through young people. Can you say amen to that? Yeah. It's true. It's true. Don't wait. Don't wait. So why? Here we go. This is all of this to say this. All right? Why? Why did God do it? Here's what Paul says in the book of Ephesians, New Living Translation, verse 5. Why did God do it? Because he wanted to. Profound, huh? You're like, you want me to write that down? Yes. He did it because he wanted to. So if someone says to you, well, if God knew this, that, and the other, and people, because he wanted to. You know, there might be some folks who say, you know, the world is crazy. I don't believe I want to have children and bring children into this world. I get that. I get that. I think every parent has to wrestle with that if that's the case. But for some, it's like, no, I want to. I want to have kids. And you know what? Here's the thing. You know that children almost unfairly have the ability to break your heart like no one else can. You know that. So that person that says, why would God do it? I suppose they could also say, why would you have children? You know they can rebel against you. You know the first word they learn is mama, and the second word is no. What? You know that. But why would you have them anyway? Because you want to. Yeah. Right? God wanted to. God says, no, this is what I want to do. But it's more than that. It goes on and it says, and it gave him great pleasure. God wanted to, and it gave him great pleasure. Hey, listen. When did that happen? When did God want to do this? When did he want to do the Adam and Eve and all of the world and speak? When did he want to do that? In eternity past. When did he choose you? When did he call you? When did he have his eye on you? When were you in his mind? In eternity past. Go to eternity. I don't know why I point to the left. It could be your left, but it doesn't matter. Whichever way eternity is. I'm looking at... Go to eternity and keep going before he spoke the stars into existence, before you were even a speck or anything, before your parents and your great-grandparents and on, before anybody ever existed, before the world was created, before there was a universe, God says, I'm going to create people and I'm going to love them and I want to do this and I'm going to give them the right to rebel against me if they want to. But I know this, that all around the world, there are going to be people who worship me and people who love me, not just because of what I do, but because of who I am. Can you say amen to that? Listen, it gets better than that. God made up his mind, and I don't even know how to say that correctly. I don't have the English language words to say that, other than just what Paul the Apostle said, that he chose to do that, listen, before you screwed up your life. It's one thing to love the perfect child. It's a whole nother thing to love a rebellious, self-righteous, don't need God. Oh, I got my own. Oh, I built this place. Oh, my, I'm yelling at you, aren't I? I'm so sorry. I'm out of water. Who cares? You know it. You know it. You know it. Listen, some people are easy to love. Some people, not so much. It's like, you know what, man? You're really stretching my love right now because I'm not feeling it. About to give you a right cross or the right hand of fellowship right now is what you need. Right? Oh, God chose you way before you ever messed up, rejected him, used Jesus' name in vain, went your own way, had no room for God. Way before then, he chose you. And he goes, no, that's my daughter. Maybe the angels would go, Lord, she pretty messed up. Yeah, yeah, I know. Oh, I mean, you're God, you know, you. That guy right there, ain't no way he could be a follower of Christ. Oh, yes. Maybe some people might be thinking the same thing about you. No way. Isn't that cool? It's freedom. It's liberating. And it answers the question, at least partly, why you are in Christ. Why he reached out his hand to you. Because he wanted to. Because it pleased him. And he made up his mind before you were ever born that he was going to do this for you. How gracious is that? So what's your why? I don't know. What's my why? Let me take you back to Ephesians chapter 2, talk a little bit more about God's why, and that'll fold into the conclusion of my why, and maybe you can see it in the Word of God as well. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 says, once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. How many of you get that? I got that part down, right? You used to live in sin, just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil. What? I am not a follower of the devil. Oh, yes, you were. Me, I'm speaking to myself. The commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit, listen to this, he's the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. Do you know that when people reject God, and there's one thing, well, I'm searching, I don't know, maybe, that's one thing. It's a different thing to say, God, I got no time for you, nor do I want any time for you. God says there's a spirit working within your heart that makes you refuse to obey God. And then he says, all of us used to live that way. Oh, you thought I was talking about some different people. No, I'm talking about us. Yeah. All of us used to live following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everyone else. Can I say that those three verses summarize the human condition? When you see riots in the street, when you see murder, when you hear about embezzlement, about people, you think, no way did they do that. That is the reason why, right there. It is the condition of the heart. Thankfully, God doesn't leave our hearts in the condition that they truly are if we be honest with ourselves. Because verse 4 is, how many of you love the buts of the New Testament? But God is so rich in mercy. And he what? Loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins spiritually, he gave us life. When he raised Christ from the dead, it is only by God's grace that we have been saved. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. And so Jesus comes because of God's love and God's mercy, and he dies for my sin, and God raises him from the dead, and therefore that gives me a bridge to get from where I am to where God is. And he has raised us from the dead and seated us with him right here, right now. My feet are on the ground, but my position is rock solid in heaven. Why did he do it? Verse 7 says this. Okay, we're almost done. Hang on. So God can point to us in all future ages. So what does that mean? What are future ages? We just talked about eternity past, didn't we? And that God chose us and called us and appointed us. Now he takes it to eternity in the future. So that all future ages, you and I, the church, will be examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness toward us, as shown in all he has done for us, who he united with Christ. So not only did he call you in eternity past, you are the object lesson of heaven. One day, we'll be with him forever. And all of creation, all of the angels will be going, you know what? I know, it's been a billion years and I still don't get it. I don't get it. Because angels don't experience what we experience. They experience the presence of God, but we experience them in a whole new dynamic mixed with faith. And you'll be the object lesson. Throughout all of eternity, he'll be pointing to you, the church, and say, look at him. Look at him now. It's like, Lord, it's been 10 billion years. I know. Wait till you see what else I'm going to do. I don't know what that means. I don't know what that's like, but you got to admit that's going to be cool. No? That's cool. All right. Verse 10 says this, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things that he planned for us long ago. Okay? So there's a purpose. There's another why, because he's got work for us to do, church. He's got work for us to do. And you know what? A part of what he has us to do is to bring glory to him in all circumstances, in all situations. As it says in 1 Corinthians 10, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Psalm 67 talked about it. In Habakkuk, it says that the earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord as the water covers the sea. Okay? So that's another reason that he has called us, that we would be a people that would glorify him in all that we do. So let me summarize this real quick. First and foremost, here's one of my whys. Here's why I do what I do. One is because he first loved me. I can't wrap my head around it. And that love began in eternity past. It was like before. How do you love someone that hasn't even had a chance to love you back yet? I mean, that isn't even in existence. You know, maybe, oh, I'm so excited for, you know, Richie's, man, he's going to be, I can't wait for Richie to be born. And he's going to bring so much heartache and love and joy and all mixed together. And I'm so excited about Richie, man. Yeah, but Lord, it's another 10 billion years before he's born. I don't care. I'm fired up. That's your God. It's like, you kind of get the sense that time means nothing to him. And that's true because he created it. It's important for us, and he does have a timeline. I love God. I do what I do. Here's my why, because he first loved me. Secondly, as it says in Ephesians 2:10, so that I can do the things that God planned. Turns out he's got a plan for my life. Man, I want to be in the center of that. Gosh, I do. I do, really. How about you? You know, you want to do those things because you know what? That's going to bring maximum glory to him when I'm tracking with him. All right, now, let me just, this next part, Ephesians 3:20 says now, we get back to Psalm 67, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, that the waters, the earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Missions exist because worship doesn't. It's all about glorifying him. It's all about lifting him up. There's only one star in the kingdom. It's all about Jesus. It's not about me. It's about him. Ephesians 3:20 says, now all glory to God. All glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Verse 21 summarizes. Ephesians 3:21 is the whole message summed in one verse. Glory to him in the church. and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. And Paul the Apostle, every once in a while, needs a good amen. He says amen. Say, there it is. Why do we do what we do, Living Grace? Why? For the glory of God. For his great name. For his fame. Yes, because he first loved us. And yes, because we've got things to do. Yes, but it is all about him. It's all about him. For his glory. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. I have a song I want to give you. We're going to leave with a shout. And let's sing it together as we play this song.